Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning, New England. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. Learn more about the program, allpoliticsislocalma.com, allpoliticsislocalma.com. Join the conversation, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. The distinguished-looking man sitting across from me, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, and we're joined on the phone by the Metro West opinion editor, Rick Holmes. Good morning, Mr. Holmes. Thanks for taking a couple minutes to join us here on All Politics is Local.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, John and Terry.
Good morning. How have you been?
Just great, thanks.
Good. Haven't seen you in a while, but we've done a few things with Rick over the years around Metro West, and he's a good guy. If you have a debate, he's a good guy to have on the team asking questions. He's very knowledgeable and fair. Yeah. Even though you're a little on the, lean toward the left, but you're generally, I think, fair.
Well, I appreciate that, and I do enjoy doing those kinds of political debates, and we're already having a hell of a political year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not even half over.
I think it's just the beginning of the beginning at this point. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on. I laughed out loud last week about your piece in last Sunday's paper. I want to get to your piece today in today's paper as well. But last Sunday's paper, you talked about the editorial board about reviewing Donald Trump, and you would not endorse Donald Trump to even be a state rep. And I actually had to laugh out loud because I've sat before you going through the editorial process to get your endorsement as a state rep. So I kind of laughed out loud, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about that article that you wrote last week.
If it was you against Donald Trump for state rep, John, you'd have my vote.
We got the tape on that.
Yeah, we got the tape on that one. We're going to cut that a little bit.
No, as I explained in the piece, the editorial board meeting is the closest thing to a real job interview we have in the political exercise. I always think that while we all like to pick our candidates based on people we feel affectionate toward, or we can identify with, or they say the things that we would say, or the way we would like to hear them said. You're not just picking favorites when you're going to vote. You're giving a job to somebody. So the editorial board meeting is a chance to think of it more like a job interview. Does this person have the skills? Does this person have the knowledge that the job would require? The temperament, the judgment, all those things come into play. And in an ed board meeting, we can probe a little bit. It's not like a press conference where the candidate can dodge a question and just move on and have somebody else ask a different question. We can push a little bit harder, and I always try to look for the thinking behind the talking points. Yeah, I know what he's already said in the press conferences and in the speeches, but can he defend it? Has he thought through the implications of his position? Has he thought about this and that and the other thing? And can you see them thinking on the spot and see what's behind the rhetoric? Listening to Donald Trump talk to the editorial board at the Washington Post, I saw none of that. It seemed like he was totally lost when he got past the talking points and the lines from his stump speeches. And I think that's something that people ought to be aware of.
Well, Terry and I have been to quite a few Trump events, up and down the Northeast Corridor. And it is interesting. As we sit on media row sometimes with some of the national reporters, and we all kind of just look at each other and go, he never answers a question on policy, he never answers a question on, of anything of substance, yet he's still the front runner in the polls. I mean, you've covered a lot of presidential campaigns. Explain it.
Well, I do think there are a lot of people that don't get to the job interview part, and a lot of people that it has become an entertainment. Usually you see this earlier in the campaign process. Later, as it gets closer to the general election, you do get these sort of, well, can he do the job issues that come to the fore. But right now, it's all part of a show. I was amazed. I went to a Trump event in Worcester at the DCU Center in November, I believe.
Yeah, we were there. Yeah.
Well, that was, I have never seen 11,000 people at a political rally the year before an election. I was there when I can remember when Barack Obama first came to Massachusetts, and he had a rally out at the Boston Common. He didn't have a third as many people as Trump brought to Worcester, which is even harder to get to for a lot of people. Many of them loved Trump from the beginning, but an awful lot of them were people I was sitting with were curious as much as anything. They were there for the show more than for the issues. And I think that's part of modern politics.
Well, you know, John and I were there, and we were actually interviewing people for the radio show. And, you know, we ran across, there was one woman that, you know, probably mid-60s, 40-year union member, lifelong Democrat, and she and her entire family were voting for Donald J. Trump, and she was pretty serious about it. And we interviewed some students. There were some students that had driven 6 hours to come to the event. Now, they may have been coming for the show, as you say, but there are a lot of people there that, they were like mice going for cheese. They were all excited just thought Donald walked on water. Now, you heard the same thing we did, but I believe everything he said was close to content-free.
Yeah, it struck me as a kind of a series of one-liners.
Well, I don't know. Something that didn't positively impress me at all was the fact that he spent probably 5 or 10 minutes talking about how much money he made on the Apprentice show, which, quite honestly, who cares?
Well, Donald Trump Unleashed talks about the most important things to Donald Trump, which generally involve Donald Trump. So he's very good at talking about himself. He really does not engage very well with talking about anything else.
Well, let's talk about the other candidates, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and even Ted Cruz. I mean, what are your thoughts on those three?
Well, I'm interested. I'm kind of working on a piece now on what's happening with the Democrats. It strikes me that the Democrats are having a very interesting actual debate. It's kind of generational in tone. The millennials are taken in by Bernie Sanders' rhetoric, and it all sounds kind of, as an old guy like me, it all sounds kind of familiar. I think the parents of the millennials lean toward Clinton because they're not that idealistic anymore. They're looking for improvement, not revolution. And it's a kind of an interesting dynamic about how people think about politics and how they think about what's possible and what's not possible. And maybe a little bit for folks, who are now in their 50s and 60s, the baby boomer generation, you know, you listen to Trump and I think, wait a minute, you know, I heard all that stuff back in the 70s, and it didn't make a lot of sense to talk about revolution back then, and the revolution didn't happen back then. So they're a little jaded about that kind of talk. But among the Democrats, it's still kind of all in the family.
Well, do you think there's a possibility that Hillary will more or less implode and Bernie could walk away with the nomination?
Well, it could happen, and the Democrats I know would probably not have much of a problem with that.
Okay.
I don't think there'll be riots in the streets if Sanders gets the nomination or if Clinton gets the nomination.
Well, there's definitely more talk this past week about a brokered Democrat convention than there has been in the past. I mean, because Sanders won, what, 9 of the last 10?
Eight of the last 9.
Yeah. So
yeah, he's won a lot. He won again yesterday in Wyoming.
Yep.
The superdelegates thing, I try not to think about a whole lot because I'm not sure that I think they'll probably end up going with whoever won in their state. It's hard to imagine a brokered convention when there are only two candidates. I'm not sure how one of them doesn't come out on top. But let's let people vote. 247 delegates at stake in New York a week from Tuesday. So, we're starting to get into some real big numbers in terms of the delegates.
And yeah.
My guess is, as a newspaper guy who has spent the last 40 years hoping for a brokered convention because it'd be so fun to watch,
yeah.
I don't want to get too excited. I think it will be great if it happens, but it usually doesn't. We always talk about it, and it almost never happens.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, it happens, you know, what, about every 40 years or something like that.
Right.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We're talking with Rick Holmes, the op-ed editor of the Metro West Daily News. We're going to take a quick break and come back. You're tuned to All Politics is Local here on WCRN 830.